Welcome back to this week's installment of Expand Your Mind and Be Kind. Thanks for joining Ryan and I on our adventure, and I hope everyone enjoys our episode. Thank you. So today's quote is from our president-elect, Joe Biden. He said, "Yesterday, in my view, was one of the darkest days in the history of our nation. We could see it coming. The past 4 years, we've had a president who's made his contempt for our democracy, our constitution, and our rule of law clear in everything that he has done." That was in a speech President-elect Joe Biden made on Thursday after the Wednesday storming of our U.S. Capitol by a mob that was incited by President Donald Trump. Ryan!
Rig-a-jig-a-jig-a-jig-a-jig.
What a week.
What a week. What a... Can we just trade this last week for a week in 2022 and be in debt to 2022?
So I've tried my 7-day trial to 2021. I'd like to cancel before my subscription takes place.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, on a positive note, we did get 2 Senate seats. And I say we, I mean, I am a Democrat, and I don't think it's probably any sort of mystery that Jim is either. But I am very thankful that the Democrats have a majority in the Senate and the House.
Yes, we do not have a divided government going into 2021.
And we also have a Democratic president. And I'm sure this will encourage a lot of discussion around, oh no, this United States is turning into a socialist or communist nation now that all these Democrats are in power. But I mean, this has happened before.
We are not in a socialist republic or anything
like that.
Right, and hopefully this is not an end time situation.
Yeah, right. I'll eat my words. Yeah,
there was in 2008 we had a Democratic, government majority.
Yeah,
but we shall see what happens.
And one of the reasons to give some context about why that development is important is because I feel like the majority of the Democratic Party represents the preferences and values and positions of a majority of the people that live in the United States right now.
Right. And that being said, it's not a complete condonement. There's a lot of fringes in the Democratic Party too that you could argue or probably right. don't stand for the, but I think more importantly, it is what the Democratic Party is going for right now is very much at the heart of what a lot of Americans need right now. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We just had a monumentally sad day just 2 days ago on Wednesday. It was actually the first time since 1812 that our Capitol has been breached by a mob.
Yep.
And let's not banter words or phrase it differently. It was a mob. They did breach and assault the Capitol, breaking windows, pushing aside barricades, fighting with police. It was not peaceful. And it interrupted the Congress session that was going on that was going to be ratifying the Electoral College votes to place President-elect Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris on January 20th. This was, for lack of a better word, this was essentially a coup. It was a group of people who were angry, who believed themselves true patriots for breaking and entering our most sacred government building in the country in order to sway, whether through intimidation or through chance or whatever, the vote to throw out Electoral College votes that were being voted on that day. That's the general gist.
Yeah, that is the, I would say, the objective view of it.
Right, whether you be Republican or Democrat or, completely non-political, if that's a thing.
I don't think that's possible, but
Right. Yeah. If
you
you don't
can
identify as either party, as I guess is what I was trying to say.
you it's like you it's like you right. I think the challenge here is that, I mean, there are plenty of them, but one of the biggest challenges is that everything is kind of exacerbated or amplified by a whole bunch of different media outlets. And that's not to diminish any of the things that happen, but I mean, there are so many media outlets competing for people's attention and different things like that. They kind of do have to use a little bit of like emotional appeal to people to get them to watch what they have going on and to want to tune into their networks and things like that. But at the same time, what Jim just said cannot be understated. Like, there is so much tumult and confusion and frustration and grief that people are experiencing right now. And Jim and I were talking offline about this, and he brought this up as a really good point. But people are grieving different ways. They're d grieving different things too, where some of them are grieving, well, I lost. Like, I the person that I thought had no chance of losing lost. And the only coping mechanism that people have let, not the only, but one of the only coping mechanisms that people have latched onto is it's a hoax. It's a conspiracy. Like, the other side fixed this election, and there's fraud and all sorts of stuff going on and cheating and all this kind of stuff. And that's really just, I think, a projection of I'm being a sore loser. Ultimately, I mean, that's kind of the reality. And Democrats are just as equally as guilty of the same kind of act of saying, like, well, we lost because of this or this happened. But I can't think of any time in recent memory where someone has, the person who lost has perpetuated these like baseless claims about widespread voter fraud. And I know we're living in 2020, we were going through and experiencing a time unlike any other time in recent memory. I mean, it's been 100 years since a pandemic has spread across the globe. So I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on, did that seem way off base? I don't know. I don't want to reduce it to like people are being sore losers, but I think at the
Right.
same time, it's like the person that's perpetuating these claims as being a sore loser is kind of how I think about it.
Right. Like, a lot of these people, they see, they have given, they've bought into Trump fully. And for many different reasons that you can't say that Republicans, but also like his diehard supporters all support him for the same reason. But
But do you think it's him, or do you think it's the idea of him? Like,
I think it's
is
more
it
the
because
idea of
he's
him.
the
'Cause
mouthpiece for them,
let's
or?
be honest, he's like not a good role model of a person. I mean, as a quick aside, there is a journalist blog called McSweeney's Internet Tendency. It's a really good it's not like, I mean, they're journalists, so it's fairly factual, but it's not a officially condoned source, I guess you could say. But they over the years have compiled a list of all of Donald Trump's crimes, collusions, his cruelties, like everything that he has done that are considered like a crime against people. And if you want to go check it out, it is McSweeney's.net, and then it's the page "Lest We Forget the Horrors: A Catalog of Trump's Worst Cruelties, Collusions, Corruptions, and Crimes." It is a list that is color coded by type of transgression that is 1,046 items long, and it's constantly blows my mind how people can throw their complete faith and backing behind a human being like this. It saddens me. It sickens me. A whole host of things. They're not just me, like a whole host of other people too. Everyone who voted against him this last election. But it's not that Trump is this beacon of perfection and strength. He is a platform that has given a voice to so many frustrated people in this country, and they've latched onto that. And therefore, when he calls at a rally for all of his followers to go march down Pennsylvania Avenue to go to the Capitol building to influence the congressional vote there, he may not have been intending for violence. They may not have been necessarily intending for violence, but the whole act of that, everything about that, is like textbook sedition. And that's exactly what happened. And you cannot like reprieve Trump of any wrongdoing for this, because he very much over the years has stoked these fires, gotten these people more riled up, kept putting more and more misinformation out there that's muddied the waters, that's confused people, that have, you know, it's kind of like it's created this alt history in our nation, this alt line of information that people are latching onto that makes no sense. It doesn't have any factual basis and is very sensationalized. And it kind of accumulated into a moment on Wednesday afternoon that led to an attack on our Capitol. And it woke a lot of people up that hold up. This just happened. We still can't believe it, but this just happened.
Do you think that, I guess I want to hear your thoughts on, could this have happened at this point with a different Republican president, or just a different president that has these extreme ideas? Or do you think that since Trump has, call him what you will, he does have a pretty good gift for being able to communicate with the layperson? You know, he doesn't use a bunch of fancy language. He doesn't use a bunch of jargon. He speaks and uses a lot of repetition and simple language that pretty much anybody can understand, and is very good at he's an entertainer.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to think about it, he is very good at entertaining people. Even people that strongly disagree with him, a lot of people that that I follow on social media and just like through news sources and things, they don't like him at all, but they're entertained by him. And he's given a lot of fodder to do that, but do you think this is like a perfect storm, or do you think this was an inevitability?
I think it's a kind of a mix of both. Like over the past 4 years, you know, this at five, really, if you count the campaign trail, because he said a lot of these things, Trump, we should honestly make an episode on Trump himself, on like his life and like where he's come and gone. He really doesn't hold a lot of these values dear to his heart. He just did his research on what a lot of people in the Republican Party are fed up about, and he disembodied that, and he regurgitated that to them for year after year, you know, spouting more and more falsities, knowing it would rile people up and get him attention, get him support. And that act of kind of like building and growing the fire has led to this explosion. It was an inevitability, but I also think that there is a lot of dissatisfaction in the electorate of how our government is running right now. Like maybe you could argue it's probably more on the right than it is on the left, but there's still, I mean, there's plenty of people on both sides who think our government is ran poorly, that senators have weight, like they should be on term for life, that there's far-reaching corruption, there's a deep state. There is frustration, and that was ultimately kind of like the heart of why we find ourselves here today.
Yeah, that's a good point. One thing that I keep going back to from a support perspective is I find it really difficult to understand or believe that people can buy into the thoughts and beliefs and the way that he's at least put himself out publicly, that A, he flip-flops on so many things. Like, he kind of changes his position when it's advantageous for him. But also, one of his platforms that he ran on was drain the swamp. But some of the people that he's appointed to positions since he's been in power as a president have been, like, previous oil executives, like Wall Street bankers. That, to me, that's like textbook definition of the swamp.
Corruption. Right.
And so it's like, I just find it hard to believe that. How do you think that people can come to terms and still just fanatically support someone who very clearly, if you just do basic research,
what you said earlier, kind of like it really, it's the idea of Trump that people love. It's this kind of like apolitical, quote unquote, strongman who's kind of there to be an antagonist to the established government, and it really, they don't really care about the person that is Trump. You know, that's why over the years, we've seen him commit, you know, crime after crime, you know, say terrible, terrible, unforgivable things. And that just kind of, it just glazes past his supporters because they don't, it's the idea of Trump and then the things that he's able to do for them or that apparently he could do for them, and not so much the person himself. I mean, I've seen, you know, it's really, and honestly, like, I think we could go on and on about Trump, and I think we really should do an episode on him. It's sad as much as it is fascinating.
Well, I think one of the reasons why I asked that question is more related to kind of what we're talking about today, which is the event that happened at the Capitol building, which is the people who stormed and broke into the Capitol building are following at least the ideology of someone, or have been kind of instigated by someone who, A, doesn't really have a firm platform to stand on from a like value standpoint. It's just like demonification of the Democrats and the deep state and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's really the only common ground they have, because I mean, you could ask any supporter of Trump and say, is your life measurably better now than it was 4 years ago? And it would be really difficult for people to say yes.
Well, if there was acknowledgement of things things have gotten worse, because they have, it would largely be directed at people that they see as common enemies, like the Democrats and socialists and politicians. Like everything would kind of glance past Trump and go towards the quote unquote enemies.
Right. I mean, so it's less like this person embodies everything that I believe in, and it's more like this person hates the same people that I do, or at least says he does, and so I'll follow him. But what happens, so back to, you know, what our topic or discussion is of today, which is, I mean, you and I can speculate all we want about how it happened from a logistics standpoint until we're blue in the face. And I don't know if there's really much value in that conversation at this point, because we just have such limited information. And to be honest, I'm not a law enforcement specialist or expert, and I don't think you are either, unless you're some sort of deep state operative.
It's time for me to come clean.
Yeah, I mean, better now than never. But I think more, and that's kind of why I was directing our thoughts, or at least trying to focus some of our thoughts on, you know, how people could get to the point where they would want to do something like this. And I think what we're both agreeing on is that it's really just kind of a point of just a break point, you know, like this is the time where it's like I feel left out, I feel left behind, and this person is telling me is like condoning me to say like how I'm feeling is justified. And not only is it justified, but I need to do something about this. Like I can't just sit idly by and let these people destroy our country. I can't let people steal this election from us. And to me, this whole radicalization of ideology has been really easily enabled by social media, but I think it's just really more of the shift of in-person interaction to a digital form of communication. The majority of our discourse is online. And so we're reducing people to what words they type rather than what they say and the nuance associated with that. So I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts around like what comes next, or
And I think that's
I don't know.
I think that's honestly what we all should be focusing on is what comes next. Like, it's happened. You can argue that we saw it happening or saw it coming for a long time, and we could talk about like the events of the day, and we could give a play-by-play. But really, the important thing here is, you know, where do we go from here? Like, this is a historically dark day. And do we let it set the precedent? Do we, you know, how do we, because there is a lot of people in our country today, and not just our country, around the world who are disturbed, both physically, mentally. There's a lot of exhaustion from the fact that we're like going through a pandemic right now, that we're going through an economic recession. People are just tired.
Yeah.
And this was like the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, this, it's enough, you know. So,
I've
I
been.
mean, there's talk of like impeaching Trump, which it would be more of just a ceremonial thing because he'd be gone before anything would ever be voted on and whatnot. But I think something that's important to talk about would be, you know, what are the consequences for doing this? Are we going to just forgive and forget and move on, or will we charge to the fullest extent of the law, the laws that were broken on that day, or the people who kind of poked the fire and incited these things? I want to hear your thoughts on that, Ryan.
Oh, what is that quote from Abraham Lincoln? It's like, are better angels or something like that. I don't remember the full extent of it, but it has something about speaking to our better angels. And I've found a lot of difficulty doing that in regards to this because, frankly, I just don't think this behavior should be tolerated. I'm not a firm believer of swift and deliberate justice because I just don't feel like that's a good way to have society is by fear. But I do think if left unchecked, bad behavior becomes a norm. And if you don't show some sort of consequence for people's actions, then it could and will continue. So I think the people that broke into the Capitol building should be prosecuted. I think the people that instigated the violence should be prosecuted, and regardless of what position you have. So whether the Senate members that kind of called for this insurrection, I think there should be an investigation, and they should be held liable for what they've done. Because if you and I were to go out and incite a riot, we would be held responsible.
And
Why should
God
the
forbid we were Black Lives Matters, you
right?
know,
Can you imagine if the
activists.
majority of people that were there were African American? I mean, they would have been. I mean, I don't want to assume, but I mean, it likely would have been a very different response, or it could have been. I find it really difficult to come to terms with. Let's just forgive and forget.
Right.
and try to erase this from our memories, because A, I don't think that's possible. B, I don't think that's responsible. And C, I feel that
There were laws,
it
big laws
exposes,
broken.
yeah, it exposes us as a country too. It's a huge security risk. Like if we were just like anybody can break into our Capitol building, with very little effort, because that's really what it was. I mean, they just had numbers. It's not like they had battering rams or explosives or any of that kind of stuff. They didn't blow up Congress or anything like that. It's just, and so I feel like there should be consequence. As far as what that is, I'll let our system decide that. But I do think the president should be held accountable for what he's done too. And I would wait to do anything if I were a prosecutor until after he left office, so he couldn't pardon himself.
And he loses any kind of protections as
His
well, because
immunity
like
is gone. I think that
he's
was,
a citizen again. He is, and let's be honest, he has got a very, very long list of transgressions and crimes he needs to answer for, and this one's the apex of it all.
let alone his own financial position. I mean, that was one of the reasons why he wanted to stay president for the next term. I think I'm
He was a
sure it
failing
was, you know.
business.
He gained quite a bit of money from people like booking rooms at his hotels and going to his golf courses and all that kind of
Advertising
stuff.
his name, whatever
Yeah,
it
I
may
mean,
be,
it
like,
was a huge ploy.
yeah. And I think that, especially we always how many things have we forgotten about, like the impeachment hearings,
Oh yeah,
the
that was what, like 20 or 30 years ago.
that's what it seems like. It's just or the call he made to the Secretary of State of Georgia, like
That was only a few weeks ago.
it was considered by the man who covered who uncovered Watergate, the journalist who's still alive to this day. He called it worse than Watergate, the man himself. He's in his 90s right now.
Yeah.
Like, where do you start?
Yeah. So let's focus back on the people. And I feel like the only way those people, which he's actually put himself between a rock and a hard place now, because he's kind of reneged on a lot of the things that he said. He came out with a video statement yesterday that basically denounced all the people that did all the Capitol breaching and violence and that kind of thing. And so he basically has tried to distance himself from his own supporters, because I think he's just fearful of what's to come next. But how
What's coming?
the only way I think these people could have potentially been broken from the spell of this election was stolen is if Trump would have just admitted, "Hey, I lost. It was a fair election. I lost. I lost because
Go
the other
home.
person got more votes than I did, and the Electoral College went in their favor. I lost by the popular vote. I lost by the Electoral College vote.
By a
It
landslide,
was
let's be honest.
fair. They did investigations. I was frustrated at first because I lost, and by the numbers, I thought there was fraud because people told me there was, and there were investigations done, and there were recounts, and all these different things, but I lost. None of the court cases, we won one out of 57 or something like that court cases, and it was
And
really
it
a
wasn't even a
swing.
win.
It
It
was
was
really
just kind of like an acknowledgement of not
of an
of conflicting
irregularity or
facts.
something, yeah. And so I just feel like that was really the only out, was for him to just, and the only out is I mean, the only way to kind of break that spell of people thinking that the election was rigged. And now that he's said what he said, I am very concerned that either that specific group of people are going to be like, okay, well, the election was rigged and this is like a huge conspiracy because now Trump's in on it, or that they're just like, cool, the election was rigged, but the person that we supported is now saying that he no longer supports us or cares about us, and so now we're just going to look for somebody else to follow. I'm very concerned that that void that's left is going to make things worse for them, because it not only adds frustration from a now we're kind of out in the cold, but also still believing that the election was stolen and that the Democrats won. And now we have to figure out how to make things
right. We don't have our leader anymore.
I don't know. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. But that's what I've been kind of like recycling back into my mind, because if you have that many people, I mean, it was like 68% of all Republicans that were polled in this poll. And I don't remember who did it. It might have been the AP or someone. So forgive my lack of being able to source it. But it was something like 68% of all Republicans did not believe Biden won the election. And it's like, that's a significant portion of people. That's not fringe group. That's a lot of people.
And let's just point the finger. A large part of that is not just Trump's ravings, is Twitter, his midnight Twitter ravings. It is like elected officials in the Senate and in the House who have kind of like entertained these ideas. They've never come out and said 100%, you know, oh yeah, this is true, but they've entertained it. I mean, there are a few that actually wholeheartedly support it. But that kind of like institutional support has just, it's given a free rein for Republicans to be like, yeah, no, this is stolen. Like our senators are saying it, our party is saying it, you know, like this, we're going to pick and choose our own facts here, which is pretty few to choose from. And we're going to run with this.
The thing that I think is ironic about that, though, is there are plenty of people that see all politicians other than Trump, because they're supporting him, as frauds or, you know, like whatever else. So
liars.
The fact that I think they also more saw that through a lens of these people are supporting what Trump is saying rather than like, look, these people also think this. It's more like they're supporting him because A, they know that he's right, but B, if they didn't show support for the president, then we wouldn't have probably elected them. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. That was something I was thinking.
So I guess to more answer your question, I think there is like kind of a dangerous void that's being created. Like on Wednesday, when President-elect Biden called out President Trump to basically make a statement, call your people off, and you need to apologize to the nation. His statement was very geared towards reiterating his false claims that he lost, or that the election was stolen from him. And then he said that, oh, well, everyone needs to go home, but they're good people. They're great people, and we love you, and stuff like that. And it's just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then the very next day, when all of this blew up internationally and the vote was cast by the Senate, it was an overwhelming 93-6, because there's only 99 senators right now, in favor of passing the vote and electing President-elect Biden and Kamala Harris. Trump kind of it literally overnight just saw his hold on the Republican Party just crumble because of this little stunt. Well, not little, because of this colossal stunt that just happened.
Yeah.
And he's knows that the waters have changed, and he completely 180'd his position and said he denounced violence and that anyone who did these acts should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. Cough, cough. That's you too, buddy.
Yeah.
And like, how do you think his supporters feel now? Like they have been egged on for years, and especially in these last couple of months since the election, to basically do this, to all this anger just funneled into this little incident. I keep saying little and small. It's not. And then suddenly being left out in the cold by your God in chief, Trump, who, you know, he sees the political landscape change, and a self-serving person. He is going to roll the way he has to, and you've now been denounced by the president. You now have been called a domestic terrorist. You now find yourself on the wrong side of history, very much so. Like, is this a time where, like, a lot of people try to find amends and try to, you know, seek forgiveness? Or do they, you know, kind of spiral into a more ultra-radical state and find somebody else or something else to see their perceived patriotism lived out?
So this makes me think, like, how would you, and don't get me wrong, I think after that, I mean, there's another round of grieving. I mean, there is an extreme outrage at the way that he's treated his supporters over the past day. I mean, the fact that he came out with that statement that denounced them, or at least, you know, at least the ones that stormed the Capitol. How do we have conversations after that healing has happened? And how do we know, like, when that's enough to have a conversation with someone who devoutly supported Trump and now is in a vacuum of, like, well, now I've got to look for another leader? Because I'm a firm believer that we are tribal people at our core, and so we try to look for people to lead. Whether that's, you know, us or other people, we want to be part of a group, and each group needs a leader, and we always look for that. And so how do we have conversations that are reasonable? And I don't necessarily know if it comes to rational thought when it comes to talking about politics or that kind of stuff in a lot of cases, but how do you think about that? What's a way that we can start a conversation? So, like, next week or a couple, maybe even a few months from now, you and I encountered a previously fanatical Trump supporter that, of course, Trump's no longer president. He's kind of denounced them, or just the way that he's treated the people that he did denounce turned them off enough that now they're looking for something else. Like, what do you think would be a good place to start?
Oh, I mean, that's hard. It's so hard not to kind of grab onto anger, which is never the place to go. But, you know, after so much, it's nauseating to think about all the things that his misinformation and his hardcore supporters have accomplished with denying the pandemic and, you know, pretty much denying anything and everything that science or politics or anyone or the news tries to say, the free media, and be completely just like, oh, okay, well, that was just a stint. Like, we're sorry for you, but welcome back into the reasonable society.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I have lots of family that was very, you know, in the 4 years that he's become president, you know, they've become more and more hyper Trump. It started out as just kind of like a joke in my family, in my friends that are Trump supporters. It was more of a joke. It was like well, we're just going to see where this goes, lol.
Yeah. Let's let the chimpanzee drive the car for a while.
Right. To a full blown fanatical cult where the man could do no wrong, he was untouchable, and his word was law. And my mind kind of goes back to, you know, the fall of Nazi Germany. You know, all of those people had to reintegrate back into society. Like, hardline Nazi people had to reintegrate back into society, and many of them did it, but some people wouldn't let go. And, you know, that's why I think that's one reason why we have Nazism alive today in small numbers, is because of the unwillingness to let go of that extreme message. So I think it's going to take time. I think I know for myself personally, I don't even think I could stand to be around my family right now, because it hurts,
Yeah.
and it saddens me. But with time, I hope to rekindle like my relationship with them, and you know, hopefully we can move on and you know, address the real pressing issues in our country now. Like, we can find more solidarity as Americans moving forward. I don't know, I'm not the only one that has family like that, or you know, friends, like we all do. And I think a good step forward is just to give time and really focus on the things in our country right now that are direly in need of work. Our economy, this pandemic, like we need to come together as a nation, because this division has caused so it's augmented our problems so much more than they need to have been.
How important do
And
you,
maybe we can find healing through that.
yeah, how important do you think it is to acknowledge that stuff, like with your family or your friends, is to say like, hey, look, I know that the outcome of the election or whatever is not what you were hoping for. I'm not here to boast or brag because I can acknowledge it. It doesn't feel great to not have the outcome that you want.
Right.
And I'm here if you want to talk about things. Like, do you think even those like little small outreaches of like support, do you think that's a reasonable or helpful thing to do? Or
Yeah, I think
because
so.
I feel like you have to acknowledge the elephant in the room in some capacity and say
Right.
like, look,
Literally the elephant.
right, look, you and I probably are not going to agree on things, and that's fine. But ultimately, I do not want that to damage or ruin our relationship. And we can find other things to talk about and other things to, you know, whatever. If for whatever reason those are incompatible, or you know, we can't come up with some sort of, I don't know, agreement on whatever it might be. But also, do you think that just getting things done and making things better is going to be a proof of concept for winning some of those people over?
I think it's going to be a good start. Like, I think really at the end of the day, it's going to be something like you said. It's going to have to be like a good talk. It's going to have to be kind of like a heart to heart with a lot of your friends and family that you don't want to see leave your life. And I think that all needs to happen, but right now, I think it's very important that we kind of like embrace this moment of solidarity we have as a country, and take this energy and move forward to really tackling the things that have been ravaging our communities for this last
Yeah,
year, the things that 2020 has done
let's
to
stop
us.
focusing on the things that we disagree on and start to focus on things that we
Right.
do so we can actually get some stuff done.
And we saw that in Congress on Wednesday night. It was some of, I mean, we won't go into detail about that, but there was a lot of kind of like, you saw a lot of like setting aside differences in that moment. And I feel like that was really symbolic of what can happen in our country. Like I think this is like an epiphany a moment is what I've seen it described as. And you know, it's time to get to work. You know, we've got to, you know, get our mask mandates sorted out. We have to get our vaccine in like rate brought back, like brought up to where it should be. Like, we have an economy that direly needs help. Like, we have a lot of work to do, and by standing around and bickering amongst each other of, you know, or like pointing fingers or laying accusations about the last 4 years, I think it's best to just kind of, you know, have that talk if you need to, but it's best to just move forward right now, and we can kind of find reconciliation along the way.
Right. Yeah, I don't think deference or inaction is an option anymore. I don't think just like
Right.
hanging tight and just sitting around and hoping things will get better is really, it's really just
Right.
not a plan that is going to provide any good or positive result at
Let's
this
be
point.
honest, that plan almost never
Well,
works.
especially when you're hoping that something will just go away. My experience,
Right.
anything that you dread, it's like it's almost always best to just rip the band-aid off, and just do it. It'll suck, but just do it. And there'll be plenty of sacrifices that need to be made for throughout this year and even in next to your personal freedoms and some other things, but ultimately help our country get back to a point of viability and health and
More
yeah,
stability.
stability and to be seen and respected again, I think on the international scale will be nice. But anyway, I'm kind of going off the rails on certain things.
Oh, it's
But that's
point it was a good point, Ryan. And I think, a mixture of kind of like both of those things is really gonna be how we find healing as a nation.
yeah. Well, do you want to take a short break and then come back with a be kind? All
Yes,
right.
sir.
We'll be right back, everybody.
That was a
Time.
sigh. It was a sigh
Yes,
of not relief.
it was a sigh of relief. Well, Jim and I would like to, we'll make this be kind pretty short and sweet. We were talking before we started to record the episode, and we're trying to think of a way or something that you could do at a personal level to, I guess, kind of help people heal. And I think this is really what we would recommend doing is trying to give people some patience and grace with how they're processing things. And not just in this particular instance, but in general in life. If someone experiences a really traumatic incident or is, even examples like loss of a loved one, which has happened to plenty of people over the past year, loss of their job, those different kinds of things. That's not restricted to a pandemic, but just in general in life is to, reach out and ask people if they need anything and that kind of thing, but also to have, yeah, just patience and understanding with how people cope, because not everybody processes grief the same way.
Right.
And that'll be more important now than probably at least in our lifetimes, I would say. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but I think other than 9/11, this is kind of the most traumatic domestic thing that we've experienced
Right.
as a country that has really shaken a lot of people
This in
to their core.
combination to the pandemic, like it's this is. We all need to take that sadness, that anger, that frustration, that shock, that disbelief we've had about the last couple of days, and find a path of solidarity, because Lord knows we as Americans have work to do, and out of, we've hit rock bottom, as it were.
Yeah.
And I think the only way for us to go is up. And it's time that we do that.
Cannot agree more, my friend. Well, we on that note, we'll be back with the recommendation here in just a few.
Ryan, I can't wait to hear about what you got to say.
A little bit of recommendation today.
And hopefully Hopefully it's better than what happened in the last past couple of days. It probably is.
We can only hope, that's for sure. Well, you know, I've really found, just been looking through different recipes and things lately because I've been wanting to try different things to cook and all of those kinds of things. And I found a recipe that I have not yet made, but sounds very good. It is from New York Times.
Is it Freedom Fries?
It is, actually. they are. No, this dish is actually called a one-pan crispy spaghetti and chicken.
Ooh.
And as basic as it sounds, this has some pretty tasty spices. So, you know, you heat up your oven because you're going to cook it in the oven. You get some garlic and some tomato paste and thyme, Parmesan cheese, breadcrumbs, parsley, lemon zest. And then you just basically are going to stir the different things together that you have as ingredients. And you're going to add boiling water after you've boiled that. And you submerge and evenly distribute. And then you're going to pop it in the oven for about 30 minutes. And it makes it nice and crunchy and crispy on the top. And nice and creamy and flavorful in the middle. Picture looks very good. So I'm planning on making that.
What is the ultimate cure for stress and anxiety? It's carbs.
Pasta. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Pasta la pasta. Yeah. It seems pretty basic, but seems also flavorful, which is a good combination.
I was low-key hoping you were going to suggest, like, a shot of tequila with no salt or lime for the nation.
Yeah, well, so that's actually the second part of my recommendation. I was going to say there are a lot of people participating in a dry January, which I had never heard of until this week, which is where you don't drink alcohol through the whole month of January.
Yes, I heard that too.
And I've seen a lot of people say I picked the wrong month and the wrong year to start trying this. So I'm not encouraging any of you to break that commitment if you've decided to do that. But if you are drinking this month, I would encourage you to have a beverage of your choice. And just not, and also to enjoy it with someone else, whether that's on a Zoom call, if you can meet with people in person to do that, but to make it kind of a social interaction, that way you're not just sitting there drinking by yourself if you are
crying,
not living with other people at this point. So yeah, that's or crying. Yeah, does make your drink a little. You don't even have to salt your rim. You can just cry
into it. Get that really good salty flavor. All right. Well, this has motivated me to carb up my life. I'm about to splurge.
So Jim, anytime that we're experiencing stress in our lives, you just have to make sure to eat a bunch of carbs.
Right. And then drink copious amounts of alcohol. I heard it is the best way to cope, honestly.
Yeah. It's definitely a way. All right. Well, do you have anything else you want to say before we break for the week?
I think we have content for many future episodes that have kind of like stemmed off of the events of this week, and I think we've said our piece here today.
Yep. Whether that's passionately or
apathetically.
But okay, well, everybody have a good week and enjoy your weekend, and we will see you next week.
Sounds good. Bye everyone.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to it as much as Jim and I enjoy making it. If you'd like to subscribe, we will be sending out feature content within the coming weeks, months, and years. So feel free to do that, and we'd love to have you around.
And Ryan, don't forget we're on social media.
Oh, that's right. We are on Twitter @ExpandMind, be kind, and that is the letter B. And then we are also on Gmail. If you want to send us an email, it's expandyourmindandbekind@gmail.com.
Yeah, send us questions or any thoughts that anyone may have. And can't wait till the next episode.
Like Dr. Dre.